Hi, I'm Mike Dilk and you're listening to the Relax Back UK show, the show that explores all kinds of health topics relevant to you, your family and your friends. Each week I talk to expert guests from a range of backgrounds to inform and entertain you. So please do join the Relax Back UK family and stay tuned.
Hi, and thank you for joining me on the Relax Back UK show. Bart Vaughan from Ditto has developed a system that helps to make consultations with doctors a little bit simpler and a little bit easier.
So it's a patient app that allows you to record a conversation, scan a document, and then get a simple explanation, also in different languages. And then it allows you to share that summary of what has been said or discussed or what the letter was about with your loved ones.
It's an app that helps you remember and understand all aspects of your doctor consultation and also allows you to share it with your family and friends. So please do stay tuned for a great show. Thank you.
This show is cool.
So Bart has developed a system to help with doctors' consultations. My first question to him was, well, why is there a need for this and how does Ditto help?
Yeah, so thanks for having me, Mike. It started, I think, with a conversation really close to me with my dad. He returned from the hospital. He had two appointments that day. And when he got home, my dad is a farmer. And when he got home, I asked him how the visits were. And he said, yeah, they were all right, all good. And I was looking at him like, but dad, you had two appointments and with specialists, right? So probably it's not all good. And then... yeah, he started mumbling a bit. And he's like, yeah, actually, I'm not entirely sure what the doctor told me. But yeah, in essence, I think it's all good. And I was like, but dad, why didn't you kind of wrote down what he said? Or why did you recall? And turns out he forgot most, I think, of what those two conversations on that very day were about. And that drove me to really exploring, is this a bigger problem? And turns out it's a very universal problem, even outside of the medical context, but especially in the medical context, we see that people forget or are unable to recall up to 60-70% of what their medical professional or healthcare professional is telling them.
Okay. So it's just a simple case of a lot of us don't remember everything we're told.
Yes.
I mean, that's true for me in all sorts of situations, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, in all sorts of situations. The problem is, in a medical setting, there's more at stake. People are more nervous. Sometimes there's a lot of jargon or special terms that are being used, which kind of make this a bigger problem. And also the impact of not fully grasping what has been said is also potentially bigger, right? Because if you don't know what this all has been about, it's harder to inform your loved ones. It's harder to, I would say, follow the therapy advice or adhere to the advice the doctor gave you. So the consequences of not understanding are higher. And also the ingredients that lead you to understand less are also higher. People are still traditionally stressed when they have an important medical appointment.
Well, I mean, if you're given some news which is potentially life-changing, even life-threatening, you're not going to remember so much.
No, so this is entirely true. And that drove us to the idea of can we bring clarity, as we call it, when it matters most, right? So when you're at your most vulnerable moment, there should be more support. And people do all kinds of things already to fix this, right? So they bring a loved one with them. My mom and dad, they're 80 plus, right? So they the evening before they go to the hospital, they have their booklet ready with their pencil to make the minutes. So people have been trying, I think, traditionally to fix this in very different ways already. But right now, and I think this is one of the great things of technology these days, is that technology can actually help us with this for the first time.
Sure. So what do you do? Clip a mic to the doctor's lapel and tell him to get going? Because, you know, no, I can imagine that might upset a few doctors.
That might upset a few doctors, and there's already, and this has been a movement over the past, I think, 2 or 3 years. There has been a huge investment in having AI for doctors, right? So to make them more efficient and to write all the notes to their to the files, we decided to really brutally focus on patients. And that was driven by a secondary insight, namely that my mom and dad had to sign into, I believe, 13 different hospital records and portals. And that's not, in the end, super patient friendly. So we decided to build a solution bolted onto the microphone that everyone is carrying already, which is your mobile phone. So it's a patient app that allows you to record a conversation, scan a document, and then get a simple explanation, also in different languages. And then it allows you to share that summary of what has been said, or discussed, or what the letter was about
Okay.
with your loved ones.
So
So,
presumably, when the patient goes in, they say to the doctor, "Do you mind if I record this?" Or do they can't just do it anyway, or can they? I don't know.
depends on the country. So strangely enough, in the Netherlands, people are allowed to record all medical conversations, even without consent of the doctor. We think that's a really bad idea, actually, because for the relationship with your healthcare professional, we tell patients it's kind of foundational that you have a short discussion about this and inform them why you want to record it and why it's helping you. So in the early stages of Ditto, we got a lot of feedback from doctors, and we adopted the product quite a bit. So it also, I would say, accommodates their wishes. I can tell a bit on that one later on, but I already can tell you one of the biggest and most important suggestions we got was from a doctor: can you help me informing people in my treatment room about the app, and can you make them rec start recording immediately? And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Yeah, can you put something on my desk, maybe?" And I was like, "But what do you have on your desk?" And he told me, "I have a keyboard and a mouse." I'm like, "Should we make mouse mats?" And he says, "That will be awesome." So we created thousands of mouse mats that are right now on the desks of doctors in the Netherlands.
Okay. Do
That,
people still use mouse mats? I thought that was kind of
yes.
old-fashioned. All
I
right.
thought it was 90s, but I was still able to order them. But the best thing about this is this mouse mat has also some instructions. It has actually a space where you can put your phone, and it may sound really lame or trivial, but the most important thing is that it facilitates a conversation between the patient and the doctor on, "Hey, I want to record this. Do you mind? Because for me, it helps me to understand the conversation better."
Okay.
And if, yeah.
Yeah. All right. We might come back to that because I want to talk a bit more about what the doctor's role in all of this. So the recording bit, I mean, technology for recording has been around for a long time. So recording a conversation so you can refer back to it. So when you forget 60% of it or more of it or less of it, you can go back. That's fine. Now your system does a little bit more than that, I think. Tell
Is it?
me about kind of the clever bit of it, because anyone can record something.
Yeah, anyone can record. That's not the clever bit, right? But we do see already that a lot of people are listening back to the full conversation sometimes, especially in more serious care paths, like oncology, cardiology. We see that people at home start listening back to the full conversation. But the clever piece is indeed.
Can you tell how many times the conversation's listened to?
Yeah, so we can
Okay.
talk. Yeah, we can tell a little bit more about privacy as well, because we
Is that,
don't have
yeah, we
access
will.
to the
We'll come on to that.
conversations.
All right. Sorry.
But we can see when people listen back. But the clever piece is it makes a summary in I would say in a very structured format that allows people to grasp what has been said. And making this summary is not a trivial thing, because we should be able to make a summary of a conversation of 90 minutes in a very severe oncology path, right? It may be an end of life conversation. And we also need to summarize a conversation of 8 minutes that is maybe very straightforward. I don't know, about an ear infection. So to grasp that whole range of complexity in the medical field, also very different durations, that's quite challenging.
Well, there's two things going on. You've got to summarize, but potentially you also have to translate some medical speak into regular language. Which is hardest?
I think the linguistic experts, and also in my team, and the people that are working on this are struggling most with the essence of a summary. So what makes a meaningful and understandable summary? Explaining medical terminology is actually quite straightforward. Also, for example, we build a lot of extra checks when medication is named, right? So as soon as you drop the name of some medication, it starts a whole extra checking loop. Very important. But to actually create an understandable and meaningful conversation is I think the most challenging. So we have a short version in the app we give back, And it's very structured. Like, it's what has the doctor told you? What will you do right now? What can you do yourself? It extracts the actions that you agreed upon with your doctor that you should take. And then it also gives you still the possibility to actually read the extended version, which is way longer.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm surprised at your answer, actually, that the hardest bit is getting the summary as opposed to translating the medical speak into everyday speak. But, you know, that's interesting.
It's also because there's, for example, also some social talk in the beginning of a conversation, right? There is, people might be discussing the situation of their cat or their holidays. So you really need to filter out the medical piece. And it's also important, Ditto is also trained for medical purposes. So if the conversation is not medical, you won't be able actually to create a summary.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. Yeah. Just recently in the news, there has been quite a lot of talk of AI making mistakes. Now, occasionally, when I'm being a little bit flippant, talking about artificial intelligence, I will turn around and say, actually, I prefer real intelligence. Never mind this artificial stuff. I want real intelligence. Now, does your system make any mistakes?
I think, yes, it does. The question is, how do you deal with it? And in our case, we give back a summary to patients without a clinical intervention, right? So we have no clinician looking at it and checking it.
So well, no for human, us to, in fact.
No human in the loop. So what we did is, and I think this is different to most other solutions, we built a quite a strict loop. My co-founder responsible for this is finalizing his PhD in AI in the medical field and ethics. So for him, it's really important that we treat this well. So we build a system with guardrails.
Is this whole thing just a PhD project that's gone out of control?
No. It's way more than that. We all have. So my other co-founder has already done quite a while with his PhD, and me and myself the same. No, so what it does is we build a very strict system with guardrails, which means if we detect any drift in the answer that we give, right, if we have any doubts on is this understandable, is this accurate, we don't serve back the summary. And this is really different. So we pause and we say to the people that are requesting the summary, the patient, we say, hey, we are unable to give a reliable summary of this conversation, unfortunately. Then we don't give back the summary. People still can listen back to the conversation. And then we built something in. Actually, we brought in the human, which is people can then press a button and request help from a doctor that we employ to get a summary. So,
okay.
It's we don't have a human in the loop, but if we doubt the quality of the loop, we break it and we bring a human in. And I think this is different than most solutions. And this happened very rarely, right? I think in 4% of the cases right now, we don't serve back a summary. And we only had 3 requests since October to actually get the help of a Ditto doctor to make a summary of the transcript when it's not auto-generated.
Sure. Okay. Interesting.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Now, this thing involves the system, the patient, and also the doctor. Now, how have doctors taken to this? First of all, the idea of being recorded. I mean, some doctors may not like that, the idea of the summary. You need buy-in from the doctors. So kind of how's that gone?
Yeah, I think doctors are both they're actually crucial for this. So how I perceive this solution right now is it kind of amplifies the advice the doctor already has given, right? So Ditto doesn't make up anything on its own. It's, I would say, just an explanation of what the doctor already told you. So in the very early stages, when we involve doctors in designing this, the biggest compelling argument they brought forward was, like, in very critical conversations, how often I repeat it, it's still very hard for people to grasp what I'm telling them. If my consultation kind of extends outside of my room, my treatment room right now with Ditto, by people being able to re-listen to it or to get a summary of it, I see that as an extension of my work. and I actually like it. A second component they gave back was, what I don't like is if the recording would float around on the internet. So one of the things we did with Ditto is you're unable to share the conversation. You can share a summary, which is right, a written down summary of what happened, but you can't share the raw audio from Ditto. And implementing that feature, or kind of limiting the ability to share it, actually right now makes doctors prefer people using Ditto to record the conversation than, for example, just on their phone or on WhatsApp or whatever, because then they are unsure where the recording goes.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
There's
no,
another.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead. I interrupted.
No, there's one extra piece. And so we built the app, we launched it, and it went quite viral in Dutch press and media last August. And then we went to Rotterdam South. And Rotterdam South is a very diverse area with a lot of, I would say, challenging socioeconomic backgrounds of people. And the doctors there told us immediately, Ditto's great, but if it's only in Dutch, I can't use it. It needs to be in Arabic. It needs to be in Turkish. It needs to be in Polish as well. And it needs to be in English, so I can serve a very different community as well. So we added that. And that is a very, I would say very clear, very positive contribution for doctors for them to use it.
That's interesting. I can imagine the translation. Is the translation done via AI?
Yes. So okay. It translates the summary to people.
Can some problems sneak in there? Because some things in English might mean something completely different in Arabic.
Yeah. For example, some diagnoses are not even kind of available in other languages, right? They don't even exist. Or to give you an example that I gave earlier, the medication names. We have one example in Netherlands called Enanopril, which is in Dutch pronounced almost the same as 1st of April. So you have to be really, really mindful. And that's why we train it on medical models severely, I would say, before we publish. There's one extra group that you forgot to mention, and we forgot it as well in the beginning. So you mentioned patient and doctor. And the funny thing is, when we designed Ditto, we had one small button that says, share your summary with loved ones around you. And it turns out that that became the most used feature in Ditto. So people could share a summary with their family and friends. And this has been, I think, the biggest growth lever. And for me, conceptually, it has been mind-blowing. So what it does, it allows you to right now build a circle of friends and family around you.
Yeah.
And after a consultation, with one push of the button, you share your summary with those people. And you can differentiate what you share with whom. But this feature, for me, is really important because it also changes the relationship about care and health from only between a patient and a doctor. But if a patient wants to, you can involve more people with your care. And this is really, for me, it's really important and also really meaningful.
Interesting, though, that I hadn't even entered my head to ask you the question about it. And in your initial design phase, you guys hadn't thought about it. But it appears to be very important. Yeah,
it appears to be the biggest feature. So, and it's used, for example, by elderly people, right? So my parents are elderly. They build a care circle in Ditto of me, my sisters, my mom and my dad are in it. And right now, my mom ended up in the ER, emergency room. She had a typical Dutch accident. She fell with her bike. She shared the situation of what happened, what the doctor told her, via Ditto with us. And that allowed us as a family to step in and say, okay, if this is the situation, we need to make sure that food is arranged, that we have help in the house for the coming weeks to clean. So by sharing your situation, by sharing what you need from a care standpoint, we right now also extend, I think, care to a broader circle around you, if you want to, right? But then I think this is really powerful, actually.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I like that. I genuinely find that quite interesting. Just going back to the doctors a little bit, and which doctors seem to take it on board. I can imagine a situation where you might have a specialist doctor. So the diagnosis has happened, and the specialist doctor is now involved and he's figuring out the best course of treatment, because the diagnosis is done and they could really be up for it. Now, GPs, general practitioners, who are at the process of trying to figure out what's wrong, so they might be looking at various different things, because the diagnosis and the initial phases is difficult, really difficult stuff, and potentially quite confusing. You might go down the wrong route first time, etc. How are GPs with taking this on?
Yeah, so we work with quite a bit of GPs, and in the Netherlands, the scribes, so recording devices in the rooms of the GPs, are already commonplace. I think more of half of them use scribes already, and we have some integrations with them as well. So recording in the GP room is not a strange thing in the Netherlands.
Okay.
For us, GPs are very important for two reasons. The first one is they are the gatekeepers of care in the Netherlands, right? So they are really the first line of help you get. And with
well,
that,
same
the
here.
Volume is
same everywhere, probably. Yeah,
so the volume is really big. They know their patients, and they also have a huge difficulty sometime in keep explaining to people what happened or what's going on. And also, if, for example, in the Netherlands, if you visited a specialist doctor, you get a diagnosis, the GP gets involved again as well to inform you. So in this whole, I would say, in this whole realm where a GP is kind of your first point of contact as a patient, they really benefit from explaining as clear as possible what's happening. So for them, using Ditto, or their patients using Ditto, receiving less calls to the front desk, like, can I already shower? Should I take the red pill or the blue pill? I would say alleviating the pressure on their front desks, actually, using Ditto is a big thing. The second thing is they are the gatekeepers of more severe care pets, right? So they are strongly involved when people are in an oncology program or trajectory. So with that, they are the, I would say, signalers, like, hey, you might end up going into this serious care path. This is the moment you should start using Ditto, because there will be a lot of information distributed to you. So this is why GPs right now are important. The two phases, they have a very broad perspective, but they can benefit most from, I would say, patients understanding what's going on, because they receive less follow-up calls and less burden. And the second one is they are the gatekeepers of more strict or severe care paths, where they can help their patients flagging, hey, this is going to be intense, you should download this app and start using it.
Interesting. Well, certainly GPs here are under great pressure, so if it can help relieve that could well be a good thing. On to something else. You mentioned this a little bit earlier in our chat. Privacy. Now, you've got a big database with lots of very private discussions, and then that's all been transcribed and written down and summarized. You've already said the doctors don't like these discussions being spread around. So there's that side of privacy. What about the keepers of the keys? Who can access all this information? And then, you know, what can they do with it?
Yeah. So, Mike, this might be very awkward for you to hear, but you're wrong. We don't have a big database. Before Ditto, I'm
quite often wrong, by the way, but it's that's not a problem for me. I'm used to it.
We're all as humans, but to acknowledge it is a second thing, I think. No, but I'm joking a bit here. But what's important to us, before Ditto, I have had a privacy engineering startup, which was a company that allowed you to use data, but then whilst respecting privacy of individuals, and we could technically treat the data in a way that you could warrant that. So when building Ditto, something really special happened in the very early days. One of my friends, he said, my dad is in a severe care path. I'm going to donate the conversation that we had with the doctor to Ditto, so you can kind of build your product on it in a very early stage. So we said, yeah, it would be really nice. So we got the conversation, and it was immediately an end-of-life conversation with his dad. And whilst my team was listening to it, as well the engineers, on that very day and very moment, we made the decision, we don't want to be able to hear the conversations. We don't want to be able to get to the data at all, actually. We don't want to store the data. So we built Ditto in a very radical way. The data is only stored on the devices of patients. We cannot access it. So we don't store any conversations or data. There, of course, when you make a summary, it needs to go into an AI pipeline. But there we said, we don't want to train on that data, so we're not going to store it. We are removing all data traces within 30 seconds, I should say, after the conversation, after we send back the summary. And then the summary is also only stored locally on your phone. So Ditto is built, I would say, with some severe limitations for us as an organization, because right now, if a patient calls us and say, hey, can you check my summary? I say, we can't. We just can't. We can't see what has been created on your phone. So it's quite radical. And for us to develop this even better would, for example, entail that even that data leaving your phone briefly to make an AI summary. Ideally, in the near future, it doesn't even have to do that. We can run the algorithms locally on your phone, on the device, so the data is only yours and doesn't have to leave the phone.
Okay.
Don't a lot of people have their phones backed up on the cloud or somewhere else?
Yeah, there is a second. Of course, there is a secondary, I would say, backup that people oftentimes have. But these are, thankfully, pretty well encrypted. And what we also required with Ditto, which is also limiting us, is that you can only use Ditto if your phone has face ID or face ID protection or a password. Otherwise, your medical information is too, I would say, accessible. But we designed this whole product with, I would say, the patient in mind first. So for them to have an app at their fingertips that they can use with accessible information is really important. But we also said we should protect them a little bit and say, at least you need to have the basic security on your phone when you store this information there. Yeah.
Okay. All right. No, interesting. I would say that makes a lot of people happier to use the system.
Yeah, we also got a lot of
questions.
And
it wasn't an answer I was expecting either. So, yeah.
There you go. We also got a lot of questions from companies like, oh, you must have a lot of data. Can we use that? Can we access it? Well, those are very short conversations because we don't have it. So we can't. Yeah.
Well, actually, that is interesting because, I mean, some applications have a lot of medical information which can be anonymized. And then that is a very useful resource for public health information, which is good. And also potentially for slightly more nefarious means, you know, and I'm talking health insurance companies. Yeah. You know, so there's good and bad involved in all of this, having large medical stashes of information. But
it's interesting that you mentioned the healthcare insurance. So in the Netherlands, we are supported by one of the biggest healthcare insurance companies here in the Netherlands that is advising us to all their insurees. But they also said very clearly in the beginning, we don't want to have any access or kind of in-depth knowledge about what people are doing in the app or what's happening. So they said we want to support this because we feel it might relieve pressure from the healthcare systems as a whole, right? Mm-hmm. They bought in on the core assumption that if people forget up to 70%, that's a huge waste. So let's improve it. But they didn't want to have any access to data or frequencies or whatsoever of diseases. Yeah.
Interesting. All right. So in the Netherlands, you found that doctors are generally fairly accepting of this. Now, in the UK, things are different. We have the beloved NHS system, which is what most people use. And it's a slightly different system. I don't know if you've had these discussions, but what do people think about it who work within the NHS, doctors within the NHS?
We have the first. We are having the first discussions right now. So just to give the listeners an overview, we went live in the Netherlands in August 25, and we right now have a little bit over 100,000 people using it, which for Dutch meanings is quite a steep growth curve, right? We grow 20% monthly, so that's great actually. We see doctors in specific care paths really embracing this. And these are the more serious care paths, right? Cardiology, oncology and hematology, but also, for example, any neurodegenerative disease like Parkinson's or Alzheimer's or dementia, we have doctors recommending us because there the need to understand what's happening and also share it with your environment is critical. And oftentimes these doctors already have been advocating, hey, you should bring someone, you should make write down notes or even record it. So those doctors in general are, I would say, very supportive to what we are doing. And I think actually most doctors are supportive of the mission that we want to achieve. In the UK right now, we're going to use probably a slightly different approach. And we learned here in the Netherlands that to have a few healthcare professionals or institutes supporting you is really helping. So, for example, right now in the Netherlands, we have the first big rollout from a hospital that includes Ditto in the invites they send out, in the reminders they send to their patients. When you enter the hospital, you are reminded, hey, if you have an important conversation, use Ditto. So to collaborate with healthcare institutes to more or less recommend Ditto and also install the trust that is needed is very important. And on that side, it's not only towards patients, it's also me giving webinars, other doctors from the Ditto team visiting the hospital, explaining to other doctors how this works, what happens with their voices and stuff like that is really important. One of the signals we got back from the UK specifically was the issue with languages that many doctors actually face. So the option right now to translate the conversation and to give back a summary in a language that is relevant for a patient and his or her environment, right? Could also be that at home there are different people you want to involve that also speak different languages. Is a very big thing. And we already got some requests, for example, to also do real-time translations in the conversation, right? That you put Ditto at the desk and it in real-time translates what has been said. So this is a requested feature right now with specific interest from the UK. And it's for us, it's going to be a big decision to make whether we're going to accommodate that.
Because yeah, I can no imagine accommodating thing. That might be, you know, quite tricky.
Yeah, there are different risks associated to it. So yeah, definitely that would be a very big step that we would we would take, and also comes with a very different level of accountability responsibility from a technical standpoint. I agree. Yeah,
interesting. Okay, so well, you've shown that this, you know, can potentially be useful, and people are using it already. Is it free to use for the patient?
Yes, right now we launched, we definitely used a model where we say for the patient it's free. Also because we think, we are convinced that not understanding your care is a very foundational need actually that people actually have, understanding what's happening, right? So to capitalize on that would not be a good model. Secondly, we are right now negotiating in the Netherlands to be reimbursed by healthcare insurers. So they right now see the benefit actively recommending Ditto to their insurers, but they actually said we see a nationwide advantage. So we might actually want a nationwide reimbursement for it. And then the most surprising model is actually, and this is the beauty of starting your company, you're involved to the very little details as well. I also man the customer service. So I get requests that are not related primarily to understanding care. For example, an elderly woman that asked me, could you arrange a taxi to the hospital because I'm unable to get there? Or people asking me, hey, I got this diagnosis right now. Can you maybe take care of food for me for the next 2 weeks? So there might be a model that we are going to explore where we will be offering services, not so much in understanding your care and summarizing the conversations with your doctor, but more with the active care management that comes after, right? So now you know what's going on, you discussed with your doctor what will be happening, now what are you going to do? And in that area, we might develop business models.
Okay, that's interesting. But just going back to how, you know, your company exists, the patient doesn't pay, but it's you get money from insurance companies, essentially.
Right now, we are funded by a group of German healthcare insurers, indeed. Right. And there was one individual in the Netherlands that told us, and he's a what they call social investor. He was actually the head of one of these big healthcare insurance companies. He said, I think this is such a big problem, solve it. And that gave us at least the money to start with. And then right now, recently, we picked up the money of the German healthcare insurance.
Interesting. Yeah, because in the UK, it's much less. I mean, there is private health insurance, but to a much lesser degree. So that'll be interesting how things move forward there, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I'll have to invite you back in a few months' time for an update on how things are moving forward in the UK.
In the UK, definitely.
But for now, if people have been listening to this and thinking, goodness, you know, this actually sounds quite useful for me or a member of my family, how can people, you know, find out a bit more about it and sign up for it?
Yeah, so it's fairly easy. If you look for Ditto Care or you go to dittocare.com, there's more information about us, about the team, how we handle data. Yeah, you can also see me on a photo waving to you, but at least you know that I'm an actual person and that this team is actually existing, which is always nice, I think, if you
If we
download
call
the app.
customer service, we'll end up chatting to you by the sounds of things.
Yeah. It will be, Mike, please don't flood the customer service channel because then I won't be getting any sleep anymore. No, and there are links to the app, which is available in the App Store and also in the Google Play Store, and you can just download that. It's called Ditto Care. And Ditto, of course, is with a double T.
Okay. Yep. Very good. Bart, look, thank you very much indeed for taking the time to chat. Very interesting.
Thank you, Mike. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much to Bart Vaughan from Ditto. He was telling us about the system that he's developed to help patients with doctors' consultations. Thank you to you for listening and have a healthy week. Until next week.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Thanks for listening to the Relax Back UK show. Join me, Mike Dilk, again next week for more fascinating interviews and chat. If you're listening to the podcast version, please subscribe, like, and share it with your family and friends. And have a healthy week. Until next week.